Hello.
Hi, good morning, Margaret, and welcome to all of you to the Ask Margaret podcast. In these podcasts, Margaret responds to questions that have been submitted on the Inner Bonding website. The title of this podcast is Parenting, Loving or Controlling. If you are a parent, this podcast will speak directly to you. If you're not a parent, there is so much still to be learned that we can transfer to our relationships and to our inner bonding practice. So, Margaret, we had so many questions submitted by parents, and our first one was submitted by a parent of preschoolers. And I think many, many parents have this challenge. The inner bonder writes, I have two children, a boy 3, a girl 5. They seem to fight a lot, and I find myself often yelling at them. What can I do to stop them from fighting?
Well, you know, one of the things that parents don't realize is that they are the role models for their children. So when you yell at your children, you're actually doing the same thing that they're doing. They're fighting, and you yelling is you fighting as well. And so the more you yell, the more that they learn that it's okay to yell at each other and fight with each other. And so yelling obviously is not working. It's just teaching them to yell. And it's not role modeling for them another way of dealing with conflict. And so your challenge here is for you to find another way of dealing with conflict. Mm-hmm. And this means that you're going to need to go inside and do some inner bonding work so that you have more of a loving adult who can show up with your children and with yourself with an intention to learn rather than the intention to control. Because when you're yelling at them, your intention is to make them stop, to have control over getting them to stop. Now, one of the things that's hard for most of us to really accept is that we just don't have that control. You know, sometimes little kids will stop after a while because they'll feel afraid or they'll feel intimidated or afraid you're going to get even angrier. But it doesn't really have a long-lasting effect on whether your children fight, because this is what they're learning to do from you. And so as you do an inner bonding practice, you learn to move into an intention to learn, which means that, first of all, you're going to be going inside and seeing what you're telling yourself about what it means when your children are fighting. Are you telling yourself that it means that you're not a good mother, or that a good mother is in control of her children? So you would have to go inside and see what you're telling yourself that's causing it to be a problem for you. And then you would also need to move into an intention to learn with your higher guidance about why your children are fighting. I remember back to when my sons, I had 3 children, and my 2 older were boys, and they used to fight, and of course no parents like to see their children fighting. And as I started to open to understanding what was really going on, really observing what was happening, it was very, very apparent to me that one of the reasons they were fighting is that they were in collusion with each other to get my attention. They knew if they fought, I would come, I would intervene, I would give them attention. It's not a great way of getting attention, but it does get attention. And sometimes kids would rather even be yelled at as far as getting attention than being ignored. And so one of the things you want to take a look at is, are your children getting enough of your focused, present, loving attention? The other thing that that's very, very important in watching your children is children very early learn to move into a wounded place where they want to win and they don't want to lose, and they want to be one up and they don't want to be one down. And so it's likely that one of them might be coming and saying, well, you know, so-and-so hit me, or so-and-so called me a name, or whatever. And one of the things that's important that you could do with both your children, even though they're very young, is sit down with them and say, when you're fighting, I'd be happy to help you, but you both have to come and ask for help. What you're doing when you're fighting is called a power struggle. One of you wants to win, the other wants to win, and you're in this battle for winning, and it's a power struggle. And you're both involved in it, not just one, not just the other, but both of you. And so if you want help, I'm happy to help you. But you both have to come and say, Mommy, we're in a power struggle, and we need your help. And I'd be happy to come and help you. Now, the three-year-old may be a little bit young for this, but the five-year-old can certainly do that. But even at three, they're capable of understanding that concept. And when they understand that you're not going to take sides, that you're not going to give them attention for this kind of fighting, and that you're role modeling a different way of dealing with conflict, which is moving into an intention to learn, what you're doing with yourself and with them, that's going to really, really help their fighting.
You know, there were so many things within that. A parent being a role model, recognizing that they can't control, not giving attention to behaviors that they don't want to continue, and actually teaching children how to handle things like conflict.
Right.
I mean, that seems like rich advice given many different challenges.
You know, it's amazing what happened with my kids once I stopped taking sides or giving attention to it and really did what I just explained. It was amazing what happened with their fighting. And they would come. They were a little older when I did this, but they would come and say, Mommy, we're in a power struggle. We need help, which is really great.
Absolutely. What a gift to learn these skills early on.
Right.
Margaret, the next writer is asking assistance concerning her relationship with her teenage daughter. And she writes, I have been making a mess of parenting my 16-year-old daughter. She has been through a lot in the last 2 years with my divorce from her dad and feeling misplaced everywhere she is. She is the baby, the youngest of my children, and I have let my guilt drive my parenting because I know that she has suffered, and I want so much for her to be happy. She has suffered chronic disappointment, helplessness, and shattered trust. She is finishing high school on the internet, but does not want me to check on her progress or push her along. She says she does better when I just leave her alone. She constantly picks fights with her 19-year-old sister and is rude and disrespectful to her most of the time. She has moments when she is delightful, but I am having a hard time knowing how to regain the parental upper hand, so to speak. I know I'm afraid of her being angry with me, and that's my own issue. Please help me understand how to help her feel some sense of control while regaining my own control and insist that she respect other family members.
Well, once again here, the idea that we can have control over a 16-year-old is erroneous. You cannot have control over whether or not she learns. You can't have control over whether or not she behaves respectfully. And the chances are the more you try to exert the control, the more she's going to go into resistance. The kids hate being controlled. And especially adolescents, they hate being controlled. And so any attempt to control them is generally going to lead to some form of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a number of things here. One is that you're coming from guilt, which means that you're operating out of your own wounded self. You're judging yourself for what you've done. And when you do that, you lower your own energy, you lower your own frequency level, and put yourself in a place to be disrespected, because the outer world tends to mirror how we treat ourselves. And so when you judge yourself and put yourself down, make yourself feel guilty, then the outer world will tend to mirror not respecting you. And so, of course, your daughter is mirroring that. Also, what you're role modeling here for her is a lack of self-respect. Once you judge yourself, she's going to pick up the energy of that. Even if she is not in your head, she's going to pick up the energy of your lack of self-respect. And, of course, she's not going to respect herself or you when that's what you role model. anytime you feel feelings like guilt or shame, it's indicative of the fact that your wounded self is in charge judging you. And that is certainly not loving to you. You're wanting her to be loving to herself. You need to be role modeling being loving to yourself. And then the other issue that I heard here is that you're very worried about her anger at you, which means that because you're judging yourself, which is a form of self-abandonment, you're now making her responsible for whether or not you feel okay, whether you feel okay as a person or okay as a parent. And so being very worried about her anger at you puts you in the position of being compliant, not speaking up for yourself, not taking good care of yourself. A loving parent always needs to be willing to take loving care of themselves, even if their child doesn't like it, even if their child gets angry, because taking loving care of yourself is role modeling that for your child. Whereas when you're worried about how she feels about you, you're giving her way, way too much power. And she is going to use that power against you, against others. Again, it's showing a deep lack of respect for yourself, deep sense of self-abandonment. And so for her to change, for her to start to love herself and respect herself, you need to be doing that for yourself. There is no way of getting her, of having control over her, treating herself well, valuing herself, and having her respect herself and others when you're not doing that. It's completely unrealistic to expect that your 16-year-old is going to behave any differently than you are.
Margaret, I was fascinated about your comment that the outer world mirrors our inner world. And I'm sure that goes way beyond this example.
Oh yes, it's in everything in life. When we are unloving to ourselves, when we judge ourselves, when we ignore ourselves, when we don't listen to ourselves, attend to ourselves, we tend to feel in the world that others ignore us, don't listen to us, don't attend to us, don't love us, disrespect us. And so we put out an energy. When we're not loving to ourselves, we're putting out an energy that says, I'm available for being treated badly. Mm-hmm. And it's just automatic. When we treat ourselves badly, it's automatic that we feel bad. We feel bad when we're treating ourselves badly. Other people pick up on that and say, oh, this is a person who's available for being treated badly. And so definitely, mm-hmm. in all areas of life, the outer world mm-hmm. reflects the inner world. So just look at what's happening around you, how people treat you, and it'll give you a good clue as to how you're treating yourself.
Well, many of our questions concerned teenagers. In fact, 16 seemed to be the magic year. So this parent is also seeking guidance with her 16-year-old, in this case her son, and writes, what is your opinion of a 16-year-old regulating his own sleep hours and homework completion? It just seems that anything I might say incites resistance, so I often don't. But when he isn't respectful, like being quiet after a reasonable hour or considerate of others, I wonder if I am being too permissive here.
You know, one of the reasons why people have so many problems with 16-year-olds or adolescents in general is because of the earlier parenting. Because of like what the woman was saying about yelling at her kids for fighting, rather than making them responsible. When we don't teach children responsibility early by role modeling personal responsibility for ourselves, when we try and control everything, their bedtime, their homework, whether or not they treat people respectfully, even if we're not treating people respectfully, even if we're not treating them respectfully, they don't learn it, you see. And by the time they're 16, they're in that rebellious state. And it's very, very difficult, basically impossible to have control over a 16-year-old who's living in your house. That's why so many parents who can afford it send their children away to boarding school or go to Tough Love, which is their children live in somebody else's house, because they're at their wit's end. The child is resisting everything by the time they're 16. So, first of all, there's no way to regulate a 16-year-old's bedtime. He needs to learn to regulate his own, and he needs to learn to regulate his own homework. If he's going to go to college, he better learn now, because if you're going to try and do it for him, he's going to fall apart when he gets to college. Same thing with sleep. He's going to fall apart, which is what happens with many kids whose parents regulate everything. As they get to college, they have no sense of personal responsibility for their time, their sleep. They're completely undisciplined, and they don't do well. They drop out. And so it's better for you to let him fail now rather than once he leaves home, and let him find his own level regarding sleep and regarding homework. Now, as far as disrespect, again, we cannot force another person to behave respectfully, but what we can do is go inside and see whether or not we're respecting ourselves. It's very important to take a look at how you respond when he's disrespecting you. Are you arguing with him? Are you disrespecting him back? Are you crying and becoming a victim? Are you complaining? Are you saying nothing and just going inside? Are you giving yourself up? Are you being compliant? All of these ways are going to reinforce his knowing that he has the power to just treat you badly. And so it's very, very important for you to go inside and do some inner work, inner bonding work, and work with your guidance about what would be loving to you when he behaves disrespectfully. One of the confusions people have is about the definition of a boundary. People think a boundary is something we set for somebody else, but that's just a form of control, like saying to him, you can't treat me that way, you can't disrespect me, I'm setting a boundary. Well, what good does that do? He's going to do whatever he wants. And unless you have some actual leverage, like, you know, sending him to boarding school or whatever, you have no control over whether or not he treats you disrespectfully. So a boundary is something that you set for yourself. For example, you would say, you know, when you treat me this way, I just don't want to talk to you, or I'm, you know, I don't want to be around you, or it doesn't feel good to be in your presence when you're treating me this way, so I'm going to go in the other room, and letting him know that you're just not available to being treated badly, rather than engage with him. In fact, you know, I teach couples this as well, that if somebody is being angry or disrespectful, you can either move into an intention to learn, which usually with an adolescent doesn't work well. With an adult, it might, where you say, you know, I'd like to understand, you know, why you're treating me this way. An adolescent just isn't going to go there. But the other thing you do is you lovingly disengage, which is just saying, you know, this doesn't feel good. I don't want to do this. And you go and do something else until the adolescent decides to be kind again. And you can say, when you're ready to be kind, I'll be happy to talk to you about anything, but I'm not going to talk to you when you're treating me this way. And but it's not angrily. It's not I'm withdrawing my love from you, and I'm not going to be around you, and I'm punishing you. And it's not a punishment. It's not a form of control. It's just taking care of yourself lovingly. Say, boy, this just doesn't feel good, so I think I'll go for a walk, or I'll go read a book, or I'll go do something else. Keeping your heart open to your child, not closing down, not feeling like a victim, not moving into ruminating about he can't do this to me and who does he think he is, none of that. It's just taking loving care of yourself by lovingly saying, you know, this just doesn't feel good to be talked to this way, so I think I'll go read a book or whatever it is. So these are what's very, very important for adolescents, is to see you role modeling personal responsibility for your own feelings.
Margaret, I wanted you to comment again on just the comment that you need to ask yourself what would be loving to you, because I think parents often ask, what would be loving to my child?
Yes, and it's very, very important to understand that when we're treating ourselves lovingly, we're also treating everybody else lovingly, mm-hmm. since it's never loving to us to be treating somebody badly. That's never loving. That will never make us feel good. Yeah. So if we're taking loving care of ourselves, the action that we take will also be in the highest good of those around you. So in this case, if you're lovingly disengaging, that action is in the highest good of your child because it lets him know that you're not available to being treated badly, and it helps him begin to learn to be more respectful if he wants to talk to you about something. And so the question in inner bonding that we always ask is not what's loving to the other person. I mean, certainly there are times when we do ask that, but most of the time we're saying, what is in my highest good? What is truly loving to me here? And in the case of a parent, what is a loving way of role modeling personal responsibility for myself here?
Well, the next question was about a 16-year-old. The writer writes, my 16-year-old daughter, our youngest, is upset with me because I cannot go to all the performances of her play. I can only go to 2 out of 4 this year. I've started working and going to graduate school, so it's impossible to make every one of the plays like I used to. There are 2 aspects to this. I want to teach her about inner bonding and help her with her anger and taking responsibility for her feelings. How do I explain this to a 16-year-old? And 2, my own mixed feelings about not being able to make her happy. Any suggestions?
Well, first of all, you're wanting to make her happy is a problem because we don't make other people happy. They make themselves happy or unhappy depending on what they're thinking. If your daughter were thinking, boy, isn't it great that my mother, who's so busy, comes to 2 out of 4 of my performances, she'd be very happy. But instead she's thinking, my mother doesn't love me. She's only coming to 2 out of 4 of my performances. Now, what she thinks is something that you have no control over. But I'm hearing something a little bit deeper here that I'd like to address, and that is that it sounds like your daughter has an entitlement issue. That is, she thinks that she is entitled to your time. She thinks that you should be giving yourself up to accommodate her. Now, I understand that you're wanting to teach your daughter inner bonding, but in fact, you need to be doing inner bonding, and you need to be getting that trying to make your daughter happy is not a part of inner bonding. It's about learning to take responsibility for you, for your feelings, for your happiness, and not to be pulled into this demandingness of hers. I mean, most parents would do well to go to 1 out of 4 performances. You're going to 2 out of 4, and yet she's not happy. This is sort of, you know, I want what I want, what I want, and I want it now, and you should be giving yourself up for me, and if you really cared about me, you would do what I want. Well, you know, that's bratty. And, you know, do you really want to be reinforcing that kind of entitlement behavior? And so I want to suggest that you stop focusing on her and how she feels, and you focus in on you and how you feel. And how does it feel to you that she is completely disregarding the fact that, you know, that you're working and that you're in school and that you're very busy? She's not caring about that at all. She's only caring about what she wants. And not at all about caring about you. How does that feel inside?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't feel good to you, then what would be loving to you regarding taking care of that? It might be that you say to her, you know, it just really doesn't feel good that you're not concerned at all with the fact that I'm very busy right now. And, you know, it just doesn't feel good for this to be a one-way street. It's all about what you want, and I would really like our relationship to be a two-way street. And just let her know that you have some expectation that caring is going to go both ways. That doesn't mean she's going to do it. But by you not taking responsibility for whether or not she's happy, you give her a clear message that you are taking responsibility for whether or not you're happy, and that role models the possibility of her doing that. You might even suggest to her, you know, there's a lot of kids whose parents don't go at all. And there's a lot of kids who would be saying to themselves, boy, am I lucky that I have a mom that goes to two performances instead of complaining to me about not going to two. And to suggest that so that she start to think differently, because obviously she's used to thinking about, well, mom should give herself up for me. Mom should do what I want. Mom should come to all of my performances. I don't have to care what mom wants. Mom just has to care about what I want. Well, that obviously you don't want her growing up with that kind of entitlement thinking. And so I really suggest that you do some inner bonding work and look at what might be loving to you in this situation, how it really feels to be treated that way, and what it would mean to speak up for yourself with your daughter.
You know, I think that entitlement must be a huge challenge for parents or for any individual in a relationship.
Well, yes, unfortunately, there's many children today who were brought up by parents who were pretty much neglected by their parents, and they did, you know, they don't want to be those kinds of parents.
Yes.
And so they move in to take all this responsibility for their children's happiness, which creates the entitlement issue, because they're giving themselves up and just going along with what the child wants and giving the child the belief that the child is important and the parent isn't. When I grew up, the belief was the parent's important and the child isn't. And that wasn't loving parenting either. And so when I first had kids, I certainly didn't want to be like my parents were. And so I did the very same thing that this woman is doing, is that I made my children's needs, my children's feelings important, but not mine. Fortunately, mm-hmm. at some point, inner bonding came in, and I started realizing, wow, this is not loving parenting. Loving parenting is being there for our children. That's half of loving parenting, and the other half of loving parenting is being there for ourselves. And when you make your children's mm-hmm. needs more important than your own, you're not being there for yourself. When you make their feelings more important than yours, you're not being there for yourself, and you're teaching them that they're important and you're not. And that's what creates all of these entitlement kids.
So loving parenting is a focus on children and self.
Yes, it's got to be. There's got to be some equality here about caring about their feelings and needs and caring about your feelings and needs. You know, unfortunately, because so many of us came from parents where their feelings and needs were all important. I came from a narcissistic mother, and her feelings and needs were all important, and mine weren't important at all. And that's not loving parenting. And though, mm-hmm. and then so many of us who became caretakers went the other way, where the children's needs and feelings are important and ours aren't, and that's not loving parenting. So there has to be a balance between the two.
Well, this challenge of many of these letters denote is one of being loving or controlling. And this mm-hmm. inner bonder writes, how do you develop a voice of authority with your children when you feel that you don't have one? What I know is that I judge myself constantly over my parenting. I am so determined to do things differently and so afraid of screwing up my son as I have been screwed up that I am always watching myself. The truth is, I don't know how to just be with my son. As a result, I feel that he is in control, which I know is wrong, but I don't seem to be able to get the right balance between giving him attention and not sweating the small stuff and letting his feelings control me. Because I feel guilty that I'm not emotionally present, I probably often give in to him when I should be setting boundaries. I do try to tune into my feelings, but I don't seem to be able to move to the next step. Sometimes I feel desperate and find spending a whole day with just the two of us a real struggle. Oh, any advice would be appreciated. Thank you.
Well, you see, the problem is the very first thing that you said, which was that you judge yourself constantly about whether or not you're a good parent. There's no way of being a good parent when you're judging yourself, because that's a form of self-abandonment. And then you're role-modeling self-abandonment to your son. He's going to absorb the fact that you don't feel good about yourself, that you don't respect yourself, that you're not caring about yourself. And what children do in that situation is they also absorb that about themselves. How could they possibly be really wonderful if you think you're terrible? At the same time, they also see that you've handed the power to them, and they, you know, again, get that entitlement issue, believing that you're supposed to entertain them all the time. I wonder where parents got this idea that they're supposed to entertain their children all the time, instead of children needing some time to themselves and needing to learn how to entertain themselves, how to fill themselves up. There's so many adults that I deal with who have no idea how to fill themselves up. They feel empty, and they think somebody's supposed to come along and fill them up. Somebody's supposed to entertain them and stimulate them or be turned on to them or interact with them to fill them up, and they have no idea how to do this for themselves, and that's very sad. And some of it is because parents over-entertain and take responsibility for their children's time, their children's boredom, their children's happiness, instead of helping their children learn to do that for themselves. And as long as you're judging yourself and you're ignoring how bad that makes you feel, it means that you're actually not present with yourself. Because being present with yourself means that you are tuned in to how your own thinking affects you. You're tuned in to how judging yourself is making you feel, how badly it's making you feel. And the fact that you go on judging yourself means that you're really not tuned in and present with the fact that you're hurting yourself. And when you're not present with you, there's no way of being present with your son. And so what I'm hearing is that you're stuck in your head. You're stuck in your head, in your left brain, wounded self. You know, there's a place in the left brain, a little peanut-shaped place on the lower left brain called the amygdala, which is where all of our conditioning is. That's the ego. That's the wounded self. And we get stuck in there, judging ourselves and trying to do things right and following the rules and all the stuff that we learned as we were growing up. Well, that being in that place in our mind is a complete lack of presence. We're present when we're in our body, feeling our feelings. We're present when we're in our right brain, which is where we connect with our higher guidance. But when we're stuck in that amygdala, that wounded self, we are not present. And so I can hear that you're not present with yourself. And when you're not present with yourself, there's just no way of being present with your son. There's no way of just really being with him and enjoying him and playing with him. There's no way of tuning into when you need some time alone or he needs some time alone. You're talking about spending a whole day with him. But I would hope that that's not spending a whole day entertaining him. But each of you having time to yourselves, filling yourselves up, regenerating yourselves. But you're not going to even know that you need that if you're not present in your own body. And so the practice of inner bonding is a practice of being present inside, of not staying stuck in that left brain mind, but of focusing in your body, in your feelings, being aware of your feelings, which also allows you to be aware of the thoughts of your higher guidance. It's important to realize that our true selves, our soul, exists within the body in the form of our feelings and exists around our body in the form of our higher thoughts, the thoughts that come from a place of truth rather than the thoughts that come from our old conditioning. And so when you practice inner bonding consistently throughout a day, you're practicing step one, which is being present, being mindful, being in your body. And the more you do that, the more you're going to be able to be truly present and truly loving with your son. But there's no way to do it from staying in your left brain and judging yourself and trying to figure out how to do everything right. I mean, you know, when you're a parent, you've never been a parent before. The first time you're a parent, you've never been a parent before. And certainly our parents didn't role model loving parenting. And so it's imperative that we learn to stay present in our bodies and present with our higher guidance, because it's only by being tapped into our guidance that we know what loving parenting is. That information is there. It's all around us, but our minds have to be open to it so that it can come in. And we open it by being in the intention to learn, by saying, what is loving to me in this situation, and what is loving to my son in this situation, and the information will come in. But it can't come when you're in your left brain. The left brain has no access to higher truth, to higher guidance. It's just like being stuck in your personal computer and not being able to access the internet. That's what happens when you're in your left brain. You're very stuck on old beliefs. And that is never going to lead to loving parenting.
So watching judgmental thoughts would be useful in going into inner bonding right at that moment.
Well, yes.
We can all do.
Watching but see, starting with the feelings, because when you're present in your body, you're going to be aware. Step one of inner bonding, you're going to be aware that you're feeling bad anytime you judge yourself. It's not so easy to be aware of our thoughts. It actually is much easier to be aware of our feelings. And then that'll lead us to being aware of our thoughts.
Well, Margaret, the next inner bonder is also concerned about her lack of patience with her two preteens. She writes, I'm fairly new to inner bonding, and I have struggled many years to find help, and I found this God-given sight. My major problem right now is my parenting. As I get more in touch with my feelings, I'm finding that I have no patience for my two children, 12-year-old daughter and 9-year-old son. What I've realized is I let a lot of things go, not sticking to punishments, ignoring certain remarks and tone my children use with me. I have tried to explain to them that I'm going through some changes and we were all going to benefit from this change. They have witnessed my anger, yelling and throwing things, and I have never been abusive toward them. However, I'm aware that some things I said in the past were hurtful. I have spoken to them about this and promised that I would never speak again like that, which I have not, but I need help. I don't want to yell and scream anymore. They do not listen to me the first time, so I easily get frustrated. I want them to benefit from my inner bonding experience, too.
Well, once again, you are new to inner bonding, so you're not used to what it looks like to truly take care of yourself and let go of control of your children. And certainly yelling and screaming at them, it doesn't work. It's just teaching them that you are not being loving to yourself. It's unloving to them. They don't listen. It's not a loving way to parent. But it sounds like that, again, you're operating from a lot of guilt and a lot of judgment, things that you said in the past. I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We need to take the judgment off the fact that we're all in a learning process, that parenting is very, very challenging, and begin to really, really practice the inner bonding process in terms of what it means to take responsibility for yourself. You're talking about not following through on punishments. Well, first of all, I don't believe in punishments. I don't think punishment does anything. You know, whenever I ask somebody to look back at their childhood, they can remember the punishment, but they have no memory at all of what it was about. It had no impact regarding what it was about, but the punishment itself made them feel really, really awful about themselves. It gives them the belief that they're not okay, that they're not adequate, that they're not lovable. And so the very act of punishing is teaching our children to feel badly about themselves, but it actually doesn't teach them anything at all about what it is that we're trying to teach them. And so I want to suggest that you let go of punishment and instead think in terms of consequences, not that you impose on them necessarily, but in terms of what the consequences are for them regarding what you're going to do. You know, if for example, they want you to take them to the store, but they're acting out in some way, then why would you want to take them to the store? And, you know, it's perfectly reasonable to say, you know, I just don't feel like taking you when you're acting out this way. or treating each other or treating me this way. And so that's you taking care of yourself rather than imposing something on them which they may just go ahead and resist. So what I want to suggest to you is that you start to really practice inner bonding and tune in all of these situations that come up with your children. What would be loving to you? Ask that question over and over again. In fact, do it in writing. Write down some of the situations that have happened with your children and then say, okay, if I had been loving to me, what would it have looked like to be loving to me in this situation? And sit with it, open to learning until the information comes through for you, and then sort of rehearse it like a play so that maybe next time the situations arise, you can remember to take loving care of yourself, which is the best role modeling you can do for your children.
Well, it seems to me that could be used in many relationships. Sitting
Absolutely.
Down and saying, let me rehearse what would be loving to me.
Yeah, when I first started doing inner bonding, I just had no idea what it looked like to be loving to me. You know, I didn't have any role modeling for it. And so I would do that every time a situation came up with anybody. I would sit down, and most of the time I handled it really badly and I felt awful. And so I would sit down and I would write out the scenario of what had happened. Mm. And then I would go to that at the point where I realized that I was abandoning myself. That's when I would go to my guidance and say, okay, at this point, what would it have looked like to be loving to myself? And so instead of judging myself for handling it badly, I used the situation to learn. I took the very situation and went to guidance. What would it look like? And sometimes it took time for me, especially at the very beginning of inner bonding. It took a lot of time before I could actually access the information as to what would have been loving to me. But eventually, I did get the information. I'd write it down, and then I'd rehearse it like a play so that eventually I had the presence to speak up for myself in situations where, you know, somebody was blaming me or shaming me or attacking me or things like that, judging me, that didn't feel good.
Wow, that is excellent advice for all of us. Well, Margaret, the next inner bonder writes actually about her grown son. Mm-hmm. And she writes, my son decided that college was not right for him, so he is staying with us until he can get into a job where he can make enough money to live on his own. We had company this past weekend and asked him to please clean his room in case we needed his room for an additional guest that had not decided if she would stay with us that evening. We gave him 2 weeks' notice and gentle reminders up until the day that our guests were to arrive. Now, this extra guest ended up not staying, but my son's room did not get cleaned either. It was still difficult for him to get to his bed. How do you handle situations like this when your kids are too old for the typical withholding of privileges? Thank you so much.
Well, you know, you need to evaluate whether it's even appropriate for your son to be there. Obviously, he's in no hurry to get a job. He's got free room and board there. He didn't want to go to school. And one of the things that I told my kids is that I would support them as long as they were in school and, you know, moving towards learning to take responsibility, financial responsibility for themselves. But if they decided not to go to school, they were on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about being able to come back and be taken care of. And I know it's a hard thing to say to kids, you can't come home. And it's actually fine when the kids are there and they're responsible and they're carrying their own weight. But it sounds like your son just feels like he's, you know, he can be a freeloader. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to take any responsibility. Well, you know, that's not loving to you and it's not loving to him to be allowing him to do that. So one of the things I would suggest is that you set a deadline. I mean, since you can't make him clean his room, again, we don't have that control over other people. But it's your house. You certainly do have the control over who lives in your house. And so you might want to give him a deadline of, you know, let's say a month, where if he's not if he doesn't have a job and he's not paying for his room and board, or he doesn't have a job and he's not moving out, that he is going to have to find another way of living.
Well,
did that leave you speechless?
That left me momentarily speechless, but I certainly can understand that. Now he's 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard position to take, but if you're not willing to take loving care of yourself, you see, in this situation, is it loving to have an adult child living in your house who's disrespecting your house?
Yes.
I don't think that's loving to oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you allow it, then he's going to go on being disrespectful.
Well, I certainly can understand that, and I'm certain that he might clean up the room faster.
He might.
Or move out.
He might move out. He might find a job and move out, but he'll probably do something other than do nothing.
Well, it would be certainly a much more loving thing to do than to have someone who totally disrespects your home.
Right. So, you see, that's not loving to oneself.
That's right. But it is interesting, the change in focus from what is loving to you versus what you perceive as loving to them.
Yeah, but see, if what is loving to them is our primary focus, then we move into caretaking, which is what's happening here.
Yes.
The caretaking occurs when we're making their feelings and needs more important than our own, and we're not taking responsibility for our own feelings and needs. And caretaking is a form of control. It's not loving. So obviously, you know, if you let him stay there without paying room and board, not having to clean up, this is caretaking. It's indulging him. It's not loving to you. It's not taking responsibility for yourself, and therefore unloving to him.
Well, Margaret, the next writer is co-parenting her son, and she writes, "My husband and I have been separated for over a year, and I have plans to finalize our divorce after the new year. We have a beautiful, smart, seemingly well-adjusted 6-year-old son that we share custody of 50-50, and we have a great co-parenting relationship together. There is no longer tension or animosity between us, and we have reached a good place as friends. Our main priority is raising our son well. Although I truly believe our separation was in all our best interest, I still feel guilt to my son for breaking up his family, since I was the one that initiated the separation. I have two questions. One, how can I or will I ever let go of that guilt? And two, what can I do within to help myself when my heart breaks when he's not with me and I miss him?" Referring to the husband.
So actually the two questions are related in that the guilt is always coming from some lie that you are telling yourself. Again, it's very, very important to recognize that our feelings are our inner guidance, and our bad feelings, such as guilt or anxiety or depression or anger or hurt, are letting us know that our thoughts are not accurate, they're out of alignment with what's true for us, they're not loving to us, they're coming from the wounded self, they're self-abandoning. So guilt isn't just there. Guilt comes from something you're telling yourself, such as, you know, I'm a bad parent because I got a divorce. It's not loving for me to have done this. I'm going to harm him. All of these things are things that your wounded self is making up that has no basis in reality whatsoever. And so to get over guilt, you have to, again, do an inner bonding process and take a look at what you're thinking that's causing the guilt, and recognize that whatever it is you're thinking that's causing the guilt is not true. It's not coming from your higher guidance. It's not coming from a source of truth. It's coming from your programmed, conditioned, ego-wounded self. And it's made up. Our wounded self makes up things all the time as if they're true. But our painful feelings are letting us know that we're doing that, and that that's a form of self-abandonment. Now, because you are doing that, because you're abandoning yourself with your self-judgment that's causing the guilt, then the child in you, the little girl in you, feels heartbroken when your son's not there, which means that on some level, you are making your son responsible for you. And that's a very big issue for you to take a look at, because children do pick up the energy of being made responsible for their parents' well-being. Your son needs to know that when he's not there, you know how to be happy and fulfilled within yourself. You know how to connect to your own self inside. You know how to connect to your own higher guidance. You know how to really bring love in and reach out to others and share that love with others. It's really detrimental if he ends up feeling responsible for your well-being. And I assure you, if you're heartbroken when he's not there, he's going to pick that up and feel responsible for your well-being. And so realize that that heartbreak is really not so much about him not being there, but it's about, again, a level of self-abandonment where you're making him responsible for your feeling loved or filled or happy on some level.
So I was again struck by the relationship of guilt, that feeling being bad, and the lies that we must be telling ourselves.
Exactly. And the guilt is letting us know, those feelings, those painful feelings are letting us know that our thinking is off track, and we need to take a look at what we are thinking, and then we need to go to our source of guidance and ask, what is the truth, so that we're bringing the truth down inside to our own inner child rather than letting the wounded self continually bring in these lies, which is what is so painful. I mean, that is what causes the pain, is indulging ourselves in that self-judgment, in bringing in those lies. And so, it's poor role modeling for your son, for you to be feeling guilty and for you to be acting out of your wounded self, for you to be heartbroken. He needs to see you really practicing inner bonding, learning to take loving care of yourself, making yourself happy. You know, think about it for a moment. Wouldn't any of us have given just about anything to see our parents really, really happy? I mean, I think back, and I just would have loved to have seen my mother really happy. I mean, I don't remember hardly any times of seeing either of my parents really, really happy. But I was around my mother a lot more, and so I was around her unhappiness, her feeling like a victim, her misery. I mean, life would have been totally different if my mother had known how to take responsibility for her own feelings, had known how to take responsibility for her thinking that caused her feelings and her actions that caused her feelings, and had really taken responsibility for making herself really happy. I would have just naturally learned to do that for myself.
Yes.
And,
wouldn't that
and
be
so
wonderful role modeling? The
wouldn't
ultimate
it be
role
fabulous?
Modeling.
Yeah. And so this woman's son needs you to be happy. He needs you to do whatever it is you need to do, which means practicing the inner bonding process, learning to fill yourself up, learning to make yourself happy so that he knows that you're happy when he's there and you're happy when he's not there, and that it's an inside job. It's not outside. It's not dependent on him being there. I mean, that's a heavy, heavy burden for a child to feel that your happiness is dependent on him being there.
Well, Margaret, do we have time for another question?
I think we have time for one more.
One more. And so this parent is concerned also about her interaction with her child, but a much younger child. My 21-year-old son is fairly confident, but is quite wary of other children and does not seem to stand his ground like other children of his age. I'm wondering about my part in this, as I always feel deeply sorry for him if another child takes a toy away from him or pushes him, and I tend to run to rescue him. Is this wrong? Should I hang back or should I continue to comfort him? I'm a bit confused. I know it is partly my feelings I'm projecting onto him. I'm becoming more and more aware of enmeshment issues in my family of origin, and I'm only just becoming able to really see myself as an individual outside of my relations with other people. I am acutely aware that I could continue a bad family trait, and I keep trying to focus on my feelings, but do you have any other tips? Thank you.
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind here. First of all, this is one of those situations where it's really great if you're tuned into your own guidance so that in any given situation, you can ask, is it appropriate here for me to step in? In other words, is he really getting harmed and I need to step in here? Or is it appropriate for me to let him handle the situation? And so it's not like there's a rule that you always step in or you always don't. It's appropriate to be tuning in any given situation and listening to your own inner knowing. But the second thing is that it's always helpful to children to talk about situations like that and help them find ways of speaking up for themselves. Even very, very young children can learn to say, I don't want you to take my toy. That's not nice, or something like that. But they may not have the words, and especially if they're a more inward or shy or sensitive child, they may not have the words. And they may not know that it's okay to speak up for themselves. And so at some time other than when the situation is occurring, it may be helpful to just sit down and talk to your child and ask him how he feels about the situation and even start a little inner bonding. Children can learn inner bonding when they're very, very young. Mm-hmm. Have him imagine that there's a little child inside of him, a little boy inside of him, and that he's in charge of that little boy. And what does that little boy need him to say? And you can ask him to tune into, you know, an imaginary friend who can help him, or a fairy godmother. Children have great imaginations, and they can tune into a higher source of guidance. And you can ask him to tune into his imaginary friend or his fairy godmother, whatever it is, or an animal, whatever it is that he makes up that he can go to, and to ask that source, well, what do I do to take care of this little boy who doesn't like it when somebody takes his toys? And surprisingly, children have a very easy time accessing that kind of information. And so you can use these situations to help him develop his own loving adult, which we can start to do when we're very, very young. I remember one situation somebody told me about where a little boy came up to this little girl and he was mean to her, and her parents were practicing inner bonding and it helped her with things. And she said to the little boy, "Oh, you know what? I know you don't really mean that. You just don't know who you are."
Now, wouldn't it be a pure gift to be around first happy parents,
yeah,
and parents who practiced inner bonding, and then parents who also, at a very young age, taught it to their children? That would create a very different universe, would it not?
Yes, and this little girl had already learned at a very, very young age not to take things personally, that when people acted like that, it was because they didn't know who they were, and they were acting out of their own wounded self. And so instead of getting upset, she was able to just let it roll off her back and say, well, you just don't know who you are.
Well, Margaret, I hope that we do another session on parenting. Because I'm sure we will, but I think that even the non-parents gained a great deal from our discussion today. So thank you again, Margaret.
Anita, thank you so much once again for facilitating this with me.
And
so appreciate it.
And have a good week. Bye-bye.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.